Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, two-man car, John 316, our call letters. We are 10-8. My partner, Eddie, and myself. Eddie, are you 10-8?
Yes, I am 10-8. I'm reporting for duty, sir.
All right. Hope you had a great weekend, all the listeners to Jesus 911. And we're going to start off the week proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord, as always. And we're just entering on to the Advent season. We're focusing on the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. But actually, Jesus Christ, for us as Catholics, comes at least three times. The first time he came in history, at his birth, every day he comes sacramentally in the Eucharist, and then finally he will come at the end of time to judge the living and the dead. And as a result of that, Eddie, there are some saints, because they're so radically united to Christ, they've demonstrated power over the diabolical. And the first one we want to talk about in history is Saint Padre Pio, who was, number one, he was a magnet for the diabolical,
yep.
But he also had power over them and continues to have power over them. And it's only because of one reason, not because of the way he parts his hair or his gray beard. It's because of his radical union with Jesus Christ. That's where his power comes from. Eddie?
Jess, and you know, it's so awesome to realize that this great saint that we're talking about, Padre Pio of Pietrelcina, he was alive during our lifetime, Jess. He lived during our lifetime. I think he died in 68, I believe. And so it's an honor to have him as one of the great saints of the church, especially the type that that battles with the devil.
That's right. And here's a good article, Eddie. I guess they're interviewing one of the spiritual disciples of Father Gabriel Amorth, and Father Gabriel Amorth is a spiritual disciple of Padre Pio. So there's a connection there.
Absolutely.
The article's called Padre Pio is often with me during exorcism and the devil fears him. So the person who's being interviewed, his name is Father Piero Catalano, who is a disciple of Father Gabriel Amorth, passed away 3 years ago, and Father Gabriel Amorth is a disciple of Padre Pio. Eddie, you want to share some of the stuff here, and then we'll just make some comments?
Yeah, Jess, and this is what Father Piero Catalan, I believe it is a spiritual disciple of Father Gabriel Amorth. He says that during exorcism, the demon calls the saint of Pietrelcina, the bearded man, or his born name, Francesco Forgioni. So he refuses to call him Padre Pio. The demon does. It says this. It says he came to the attention of the media because he was the leader of the December 4th, on December 4th, of a meeting at the Telesio Grammar School in Reggio Calabria, Italy, to discuss the horror game that has been popular online for quite a while, and it's called the Charlie Challenge. And we've visited that before, Jess, on the show, the Charlie Challenge, which is something that gets a lot of people into trouble. One of the things it talks about, there was a conference there with the Focolarini, Father Catalano, a disciple of Father Gabriel Amorth, the famous exorcist of the Diocese of Rome, who died in 2016. He's a priest and exorcist of Reggio Calabria, explained why he uses the relics of saints during exorcisms and invokes Saint Pio of Pietrelcina against the devil to good effect.
Now, Eddie, I like the fact that, once again, see, here's the advantage that Catholics have. We have just a whole arsenal of weapons to defend ourselves. Again, he talks about that he uses the relics of the saints with great effect. Protestants say, what are you talking about? Because Protestants don't have that in their tradition. You know, that's one of the things that the Reformers got rid of. But we see these relics or holy objects being used in the Old Testament. We see them being used in the New Testament. And in fact, I'm going to hold up a relic. I've got a stone from the cave of St. Michael the Archangel in Gargano, Italy. I've got a stone from there. A priest gave it to me. And so this stone right here is also used very effectively in healing, deliverance, and exorcisms. St. Michael the Archangel promised that if you have a stone from the... He consecrated the entire cave. No bishop did, no pope did. St. Michael consecrated it. And so the stones that are taken from this... It's now a chapel. The stones that are taken are used now very effectively. Father Amorth uses this all... I mean, Father Ripperger uses these all the time in exorcism. He places it on the diabolical. He says it's very, very effective to drive away demons. And so that's the advantage that we as Catholics have. But we also have, again... clothing, articles of saints. We actually have bones of some of the saints as well.
Just let's talk about the relics really quick. I've got a quick explanation of the relics.
Okay. So yeah, do it, Eddie.
So there's three types of relics. Okay, first, they're called classes of relics. So a first class relic consists of a part of a saint, such as bone, hair, knuckles, different parts of the body. Because remember, these saints are sometimes separated. Disassembled and given to certain churches as relics, or an instrument of the Christ's passion. So that's a first class relic, Jess. Second class relic consists of something that was owned by the saint, or is an instrument of torture used against a martyr. That's a second class relic. And the third class relic, we can actually create and make our own relics. A third class relic has been touched to a first or second class relic. So what we can do is we can, whenever you go to a holy place where there will be a tomb of a saint, you take extra rosaries so you can touch it there and have a third class relic. That's always a good thing to do as Catholics.
Yeah. And that's an advantage, again, that we have to protect ourselves against the diabolical, because, again, like this article says, this priest, Father Piero Catalan, he's saying that this is used very effectively in driving out demons. Go ahead, Eddie.
Yeah, it says, after a life dedicated to volunteer work with the Gen movement on December 8th, 1988, he became consecrated to God in the priesthood. He has been the pastor of two towns on the Jonica coast of Reggio Calabria, and is today the pastor of the parish of St. John Nepomucin and St. Philip Neri in Arangia. And he says the demons fear even to say his name, Jess. Father Piero studied for years to be an exorcist and is a spiritual son of Father Amorth. We hear that. And he started practicing prayer of liberation at the age of 18. And he was named.
He already felt this calling already at his young man. He's already praying Catholic deliverance prayers. That's a good sign that you're being called to that line of ministry. I mean, because how many 18-year-olds that he even know about deliverance prayers?
Exactly, just so yeah, this tells you exactly. This guy knew he was going to be a priest and knew his role in the priesthood as an exorcist.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's yeah,
yeah. Hey, let me just mention before we continue. This Saturday, Eddie, I'm going to be at St. Stephen Catholic Church in Portland, Oregon. It's going to be the fourth annual Holy League Men's Conference. I'll be there with Tim Gordon, Dr. Ralph Martin, and Archbishop Ken Samples. So that's for all you guys in Portland, Oregon. Hope to see you there this Saturday, December 7th, at the 4th Annual Holy League Men's Conference. So we're talking about an exorcist who was a spiritual disciple of Father Amorth, and Father Amorth is a spiritual disciple of St. Padre Pio. And this exorcist, Father Piero, is saying that every time he's invoked the name of St. Padre Pio, it has a very powerful effect against the diabolical. I have to admit, I've seen it myself. It has that's the name that seems to have more effect I've seen in the few that I've participated in. It has more effect on the diabolical than any other name I've ever seen. Is it myself, Eddie? Go ahead.
Yeah, just you want to say that, like he says, he uses them during his exorcisms. Which saint do I invoke most often? He says, I have a special love for Saint Pio Petrocina, who often makes himself present during exorcisms. The possessed person becomes afraid. He'll say, the one with the beard is here. And I reply, by any chance, is he named St. Pio Petrocina? And the demon will respond and say, no, his name is Francesco Forgioni. The devil fears even to mention his name.
Wow. And again, let's just talk about the theology of this. This in Catholicism is called the communion of saints. So why do we as Catholics have this special veneration of the communion of saints? Is that because, anything intrinsically connected with them, you know, or any of their human achievements? No. The saints have power over the diabolical because they're in Christ, and Christ is in them. They're so radically united to Jesus Christ that a priest even in a minor or major exorcism or when they invoke a saint in a deliverance session, it has a very powerful effect because the demons recognize this saint is completely united with Jesus. And so the saints are Christocentric. And so the fear that the demons have over the saints is because they're completely immersed with the Lord Jesus Christ in and through them, and that's where their strength comes from against the diabolical.
Yes, I can imagine doing being present at a deliverance, and there are certain saints that are mentioned beforehand, and you hear them, you invoke them. But to hear the afflicted person mention the name, the bearded one is here, boy, I'll tell you what, that would give me more fuel to fight the fire there, right?
Yeah, and you know what? This is one of the techniques that priests use when they're doing an exorcism. The major or the minor, they'll start with the litany of the saints. It's kind of like, you're priming the pump.
Calling all cars, right?
Yeah. They start calling the litany of the saints, litany to Our Lady, and before they go into the strong imprecatory prayers. But in other words, Eddie, they're assembling the team. And St. Padre Pio is like the quarterback of the team for exorcist, as I read one after another.
Absolutely, Jess, absolutely. Okay, thank you for joining us here at the Jesus 911. We're going to continue after this short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back talking about this topic and others that will interest you. We'll be right back.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Jesse Romero. Join me on a pilgrimage of faith and discovery to Poland for the 100th year anniversary of the birth of St. John Paul II in May of 2020. Together we'll experience the faith, beauty, and culture of Poland and become imbibed with the spirit of John Paul II. We'll visit the town of Wadowice, where John Paul was born, and the city of Krakow, where he was ordained and later became bishop. We'll also travel to Jasna Góra and visit Our Lady of Częstochowa, and we'll have a chance to venerate the original image of the merciful Jesus at St. Faustina's convent and the city that St. Maximilian Kolbe built for the Immaculata. Finally, we'll pay a visit to Auschwitz, where St. Maximilian Kolbe was martyred. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to worship and discover your own faith at places where St. John Paul II grew in his own love for our Lord. For more information or how to join this pilgrimage, visit my website at jesseromero.com.
Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path." According to St. John Paul II, being a Christian means saying yes to Jesus Christ. It consists in surrendering to the Word of God and relying on it, but also endeavoring to know better and better the profound meaning of this word. May God grant that we always rely on His word, read it often, and put it into practice.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
On duty, 10-8, two-man car. We're out there cruising the streets, trying to give some Catholic intel, some Catholic briefings, so you can put this up in your war bag and you go out there and save souls and slay error. We're talking about a spiritual descendant of St. Padre Pio. His name is Father Piero. He's an exorcist in, Eddie, it's the Diocese of Rome, correct?
Yes, yeah. Italy.
Yeah, and he says that he's become aware of a demonic presence, a possession, a vexation, through typical reactions of the demon. He says, for example, as soon as I put my hand on a person's head, he or she pulls back, turns very cold, feel like he or she is choking or becomes nauseated. So he's describing, demonic manifestations. He says, if it's not a case of demonic presence, then the exorcist limits himself to a prayer of liberation. Let me just mention one thing important here. Lay persons should not put their hands on a person who's demonized. Because of demonic transference, you have no idea what you're dealing with. So when somebody asks you to pray for them, you know, say your cousin who's a drug addict, your uncle who's a heroin addict, hey, can you pray for me? You know, maybe somebody at the parish or stuff that, you know, is kind of, he looks kind of shady, but he says, hey, can you pray for me? Yeah, you should pray for him. It's called intercessory prayer. But don't put your hand on his head. Don't even touch him because, again, of the possible demonic transference. Now, what Kyle Clement and Dan Schneider and Liber Christo teach, if you have a sacramental with you, let's just say my heroin addict uncle that hasn't been to Mass in 40 years asked me, hey, Jess, man, can you pray for me, man? I'm just feeling horrible and I want to change my life. If he hasn't been to Mass in 40 years, he's probably demonized, probably spiritually afflicted, okay? He's been doing heroin for, 40 years. Get a crucifix. In fact, it happened this weekend. Some guy asked me to pray for him. You know what I did? Okay, he was over the house. I have a big St. Benedict's on my wall. It's blessed. I took it out. I gave it to him. I said, hold it. So it's like about a foot and a half long. I said, don't look at me because I got no power. Look at Jesus. Okay? And I just started saying, okay, I'm going to ask Jesus Christ to come in your life and heal you. It's called deprecatory prayer. So you start saying, Lord Jesus, can you, we beg you, we beseech you to come and heal this man of alcoholism, Lord. Lord, we beg you to set him free. Notice what I did. That's called deprecatory prayer. I didn't say, evil spirit of alcohol, be gone in Jesus' name as I put my hand on his head. I got no authority to do that. Only a priest does. That would be called an imprecatory prayer. So I took a crucifix, put it on his hand. I said, look at the crucifix. He has power. This is a sacramental. It's a blessed object. My hands aren't blessed because he wanted me to pray for him. And I said, and I'm going to ask Jesus to heal you. And Jesus can do whatever he wants. And then I had him do an imprecatory prayer over himself. I said, okay, now that I prayed for you, I said, you look at the crucifix. Now you ask Jesus. Now he didn't know how to pray, disconnected. So I said, okay, repeat after me. Lord Jesus, heal me. That's imprecatory. Lord Jesus, set me free from this demon of alcohol. Lord Jesus, set me free from all the vices, Lord, that grip me. So I was having him tell Jesus, I'm your son, heal me.
Begging.
That's called an imprecatory prayer. So, if it was a priest could lay hands on him because his hands are holy and his hands would communicate grace. What communicated grace to him? That Saint Benedict, that crucifix that's about 16 inches of Saint Benedict in his hands. He even told me he felt his hands getting hot. Okay, because why? It's a sacramental. And so as we were praying, as I was praying deprecatory, and I was teaching him how to pray imprecatory for his own soul, grace was being communicated to his soul. Eddie?
And Jess, that's the beauty of intercessory prayer in this regard, is that you can give people... you can give people an idea of how to pray because he didn't know how to pray. What you said is exactly right. He had no idea of how to begin this prayer. That's why he wanted you to pray for him. But you first pray for him, you give him an example, and then you teach him how to pray. And that's all he has to do. All he has to do is come to Jesus and beg Jesus to release him, to bind the demons that are holding him down. And that's the beauty of it, Jess. And Father Piero here that we're talking about, listen to what he says. He says, the demon does everything possible to tempt us exorcists. He says, how much money do you want to come over to my side?
Wow.
And the priest starts to laugh and he says, I made a vow of poverty. I don't have money to pay for my own funeral if I die. And if I and I share everything with the poor. And the devil said, if I could kill you, I'd kill you instantly. but I said, you can't, because I, the priest, belong to Jesus. Just, this is powerful right here. This priest is actually leading this demon down a path where he can't actuate any of the things he wants to do. So the devil's end game, Jess, and this is how we know that there's a demon in somebody, is to have people kill themselves or kill others, Jess. That's the idea. That's the entire idea.
And then there's a pretty strong indication that the person is spiritually afflicted with a demon when another voice comes out and starts telling the priest, I want to kill you.
Exactly. Exactly.
That was not the Holy Spirit. That was not a guardian angel. That was a demon. Okay.
And yes, and the reality is, look at how prevalent suicides are today. Suicides of self, suicide by cop. The guy on the London Bridge, I believe, had a phony bomber's vest on. Post-murder suicide. You know, you have recent killings of people killing their own children and then committing suicide. You have all these suicides. And so amongst all the people that do this, Jess, I believe there is some level of demonic influence on most of these people.
Without a doubt, because that's the demon's end game, is to destroy you. Jesus says that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And the ultimate destruction, the ultimate victory is suicide. That's the end game. Every single exorcist that I've talked to and that I've read, they say that's why there's all the torment of the mind, all the mental torment, is to drive the person to commit suicide. Well, Lenny, let's move on to a topic of talk about the winning team. And about the commander in chief, the captain, the general.
This is
the
team
Lord
Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
This is Team Jesus, Jess.
That's right. We're going to talk a little bit about Team Jesus Christ, give a little bit of biblical theology of the way Jesus Christ conquers Satan. And again, this is why St. Father Pio was strong, and even right now remains strong as part of the community of saints, is because he's completely, I think it was St. Mother Teresa. I read that she said that in heaven, I like this word, Eddie. She said, in heaven, we will be possessed by Christ.
Oh, that's
that
awesome.
Word?
That's
yeah.
awesome.
Say Mother Teresa says, in heaven, we will be possessed by Christ. So guess what? Guess who's possessed by Christ? St. Padre Pio and all the rest.
Yep.
And this is why they're very effective, and they show up at a lot of these exorcisms.
Yeah, Justin, that's exactly right. Let's get into this article. Yeah. It starts off here. It says, from the dawn of man at Eden, Satan has been seeking the ruin of humanity. That's what we were just talking about, suicide. Today, Satan remains active, continuing to instigate rebellion against God and sowing evil around the globe. Satan's evil influence is evidenced by the depressive decay of the culture and the growing violence and strife that is engulfing the entire world. Despite appearances, Jesus Christ has decisively conquered Satan, but through his mysterious providence, allows Satan to continue to roam around the world seeking the destruction of souls. Every man who is willing to give himself to Christ can be protected from the evil one. The choice is ours. Jess, some of those saints made the ultimate choice to ingratiate themselves to Jesus Christ, become part of his body. That's why they're so powerful right now.
Eddie, and this is what we always talk about since we started this show. This is what we're trying to pull anybody who's spiritually afflicted. The last sentence that you just read where it says, every man who's willing to give himself to Christ can be protected from the evil one. The choice is yours. In other words, free will, giving yourself to Christ, living in a state of grace. Again, that's what I did with a guy this weekend that came to visit me. Away from the church, living a life of mortal sin, doing things that were fundamentally wrong. And I just told him, as a fellow Catholic, I said, okay, this is triage here. I said, have you ever given your life to Jesus? He goes, no.
Obviously.
I mean, just like, I said, have you ever no. I said, okay, before we even begin talking about your issues, I said, dude, you got to give your life to Jesus so we can actually start talking things that are going to make sense to you. Right. And he told me after, I never did this before. He goes, that was powerful. He goes, I felt like something was coming in my body when I was giving my life to Jesus. All I had was here's a crucifix. Hold it in your hand. Okay. And don't look at me because I got no power. and start. Let's get. Well, I'm going to lead you into a prayer to give your life to Jesus. And like the article just said, that every man who's willing to give himself to Christ can be protected from the evil one. We would call that in theology living in a state of grace. And it says the choice is ours. Of course, the choice is ours. That's called free will. We're not. You'll have some psychologists and psychiatrists in this, you know, secular humanist thought. They'll say, "No, people are predetermined." It's called predeterminism. We don't believe that as Catholics. We don't believe that, like, we're predetermined to be, you know, serial killers or psychopaths or evil people. The choice is always ours. Eddie, let's continue about the theology of Satan, our ancient enemy.
The ancient enemy. He says, Satan, the evil one, and his demons are fallen angels who freely choose to rebel against God's reign. That's in the Catechism, 391 to 395. You can read
that. Worth reading that section.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
When Adam failed in his vocation to protect Eve and the garden, Satan treacherously enticed Eve to rebel against God. Adam and Eve's original sin to side with Satan led to a loss of original holiness, and evil took root in the world, pitting men and women against each other in a hostile world of pain and death. And that's what we have today. The Old Testament documents Satan's action in the world. It gives a bunch of Bible verses here. It's good to do a Jesus 911 Bible study using these Bible verses.
Yeah, you know
here.
What, Eddie? Maybe on the next show we'll just read all these verses and go through them. That won't be a bad. I like that idea. Let me just mention two things the article said right now. You just read. Adam failed in his vocation to protect Eve. See, that's one of the fundamental roles of a man: spiritual and physical protection. Okay, spiritual and fit. A lot of men are failing, especially. They say, well, I provide for my family. I make a good living and stuff. I got a roof over their head.
That's not it.
But spiritually, they're dropping the ball big time. Okay? And that's what Adam did. He didn't spiritually protect her against Satan. He should have told this serpent, get out of my garden. This is my garden. This is my castle. This is my wife. You can't talk to her. Get out right now or the fight's on, dude. It's you and me.
Imprecatory. Right? Imprecatory prayers. Yes, he should have used imprecatory prayers. He had the authority to do that.
He was the priest. He was the priest of the garden.
That's right.
Yeah, he could have drawn. I order you in God's name to be gone. I order you. He could have. He didn't. And another, as a result of that, look where it says that evil took root in the world, pitting men against women, each other in a hostile world of pain and death. Now we have this, again, you know, men don't want to spiritually lead their wives. Then wives who take the reins and start leading, then the husbands get mad. Don't tell me what to do. And it's a battle that goes back and forth.
That's it, Jess. Men, pick up your bootstraps and get into the game. We'll be right back.
Welcome to our January 11th, 2020 Spiritual Warfare Conference. Every year without fail, this is our most popular, well-attended event. This year's Spiritual Warfare Conference will host Adam Bly, a Catholic demonologist and an auxiliary member of the International Association of Exorcists, along with Dr. Luis Sandoval, a psychiatrist who's part of the Healing, Deliverance, and Exorcism team for the Diocese of Orange. These two gentlemen bring tons of experience and expertise in the area of spiritual warfare. This is going to be a high-information Catholic seminar. I'll be there as well, sharing some riveting stories on the diabolical and liberation found through Jesus Christ from my best-selling book, The Devil in the City of Angels. Mark your calendars, come and join us, and meet other radio hosts from Jesus 911. Contrary to popular belief, spiritual warfare is not demon-centered. It's Christ-centered. Come join us and learn how to armor up and fight the good fight of faith. Catholics, wake up. Don't hit the snooze button. Join us at St. Christopher Catholic Church, 629 South Glendora Avenue, Escondido, California, on January 11, 2020. See you then. Strength and honor in Jesus' name.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time, because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Two-man card, 10-8 for Jesus.
Reporting for duty.
That's right. We're talking about, we want to give you a little bit about of the theology of Jesus Christ and the way he's the conqueror of Satan. And we continue. Let me talk a little bit about Satan in the modern world. Satan continues to vigorously corrupt man to rebel against God. That's in the Catechism, paragraph 414. So Satan is trying to corrupt us, corrupt the soul, corrupt our behavior. How? In overt ways. The barbarous murders of Christians by Islamic terrorists, that's one way. The institutionalized murder of abortion, that's another way. How about government endorsement of sinful sexual behaviors such as contraception, pornography, free speech, the legalization of homosexual acts, even calling it marriage? That's another way. The growing euthanasia movement, legal attacks from the courts against God and Christians, and coercion for Christians to accept same-sex phony marriages. And now we have public Satan worship. So, Eddie, Satan is alive and well in the modern world today for anybody who has spiritual eyes.
Jess, this is a terrible, thing for Catholics to see. This is happening, and it's getting worse and worse. You see, the last thing it mentions there is Satan worship. I mean, what else could be more diabolical than worshiping Satan, either knowingly or unknowingly? Because a lot of people get involved in these things and they don't know it, but they are worshiping Satan. And the thing is that it seems like it's at the end of our rope, Jess. It's almost at the, we need a savior right now. We need Jesus to come back, Jess. That's the reality of it. So let's pray for that, and hopefully he doesn't need to come right away.
Come, Lord, as it says in the book of Revelation, come, Lord Jesus, come.
Yeah.
Eddie, but I will tell you a little bit of good news or light at the end of the tunnel is that all these satanic black masses around the country, you know who's going out there in droves to protest?
Catholics.
Not Protestants. Yeah. Not Jews. It's Catholics. So there is, again, we know that God always will have a remnant upon the earth. And I got to give kudos to those Catholics out in Houston, Texas. I spoke to many of them, and there were several hundred were out there. And all around that brash brewery where they were having the black mass, all the parishes around there were having adoration at the time that they had the black mass at 11 p.m. And again, there was just a lot of people out there that peacefully protested. So, yeah, that's the church militant, Eddie.
And Jess, that's the beauty of it. You know, you have people at the church that are doing prayers of reparation for what's going on at that brewery. And then you have people that are actually there protesting and demonstrating and praying around there. So this is a double strategy, Jess, at least double strategy that the church uses to counteract some of the satanic things going on.
Yeah, Satan also acts in subtle ways to corrupt contraception as a right, mainstreaming of single parenthood, radical feminism that divides men and women, gender theory that proliferates orientations, increasing control and manipulation by governments and corporations, rampant materialism, stifling of free speech and religion, education systems that indoctrinate but fail to teach, the earth worship of perverted environmentalism, that's even come into our church at this point, political systems built on divisive identity politics, selective acceptance of racism and sexism, the expansion of no-fault divorce, technology-powered propaganda of perverted causes, and growing totalitarianism of pluralism, relativism. Satan has also corrupted some Catholic bishops and priests to teach lies and not the truth and to stand idly by while millions of Catholics leave the church. And the downplay of the existence of Satan sin and the reality of hell, the desacralizing of the liturgy, the de-emphasis of confession, the promotion of pastoral acceptance of divorce and homosexuality as a gift, as I said in the last synod, that it's a gift to the church.
That's amazing.
The failure to vigorously rebuke predator priests and the acceptance of heretical Catholic education leaders, the abject failure to evangelize men. That's the last one that concerns me. I think, Eddie, all this is happening because we just haven't evangelized Catholic men. And so all the above has happened because men are basically
absent.
They're on the sidelines.
They're allowing
all this to happen.
They're AWOL, Jesse. Men have not taken the proper position that God has ordained for us to take. So when you have men that are on their second, third, and fourth wives, when you have men that are just totally forgetting what they're supposed to be doing in the home, being the priest of the household, Jess, what you have is this general degeneration of what the family is supposed to be. And that's, you're right though, Jess. This is essential. In order to correct this, that's probably the first thing that needs to be done, Jess, is we need to re-educate these men, catechize them, and let them be responsible for correcting some of these other horrors that are happening in society today. I agree, Jess, and that's why we here at Virgin the Most Powerful Radio and Jesus 91, we always want to catechize men, to make them understand what the issue is, give them a corrective action to take, and this is the beauty of being here with you guys, and that's I'm honored to be here, Jess. That's the reality of it.
Eddie, and now we want to give them some good catechesis on spiritual warfare. Well, we'll just go back and forth on this. First of all, I want to say that Jesus Christ, this has to be burned in our mind. He's the conqueror of Satan, okay? That has to be burned in the Catholic mind. Jesus Christ decisively conquers Satan and unequivocally warns man about Satan in many passages, okay? He warns us about the devil, and we'll start getting into it. Eddie?
Yeah, just so the first one is allow Satan to roam the earth for now.
God allows him to roam the earth.
God allows Satan to roam the earth for now. While Satan can influence, his power is nothing compared to the power of God. Just remember this, Jess. I remember this picture of, and this is why it stayed in my mind, because there was something not quite right with it, but there's Jesus on one side of the table, the devil on the other, and they're hand wrestling.
Wrong.
Yes, that's totally
heresy.
Wrong. Absolutely right.
Heresy.
This is not a fight where, God gets a good punch in and he wins the fight. That's not true. I read once, Jess, where if God is the Empire State Building, how many floors is the devil? Well, the reality is he's a grain of sand. That's what it is. And people have to come to realize
the basement.
It. Yeah, exactly. And so it says here, it says, while Satan can, okay, I got that. The Holy Spirit allows Satan to exist in the world for his own providential and mysterious purposes. And that we don't know, Jess. We don't know why it is that God allows the devil to do what he does. It must have something to do with giving us the opportunity to grow in grace.
Yeah, that's in part one of the answers that the church has always said, is that, and I'll use more blue-collar terms. God, who's supernatural, uses the devil, who's preternatural, as his useful idiot to make us natural people holy. Okay? So God allows this conquered, fallen angel, God allows him and his little gang to tempt us so that we, as human beings, through God's grace, of course, can resist the temptation, fight through it, lean on God in prayer and faith, and grow in holiness and become saints. So Dr. Peter Crave calls the way God uses the devil, he calls it judo. He calls it spiritual judo that he, in judo you use somebody's weight. Somebody's rushing you and you use their body weight against them to throw them.
Right.
That's what God is doing with the devil to make his sons and daughters holy here on earth.
Beautiful.
Here's the second thing. God incarnates to conquer Satan. What does that mean? God became a man to conquer Satan. This is predicted in the Proto-Evangelium, the first gospel, as the fathers of the church called Genesis 3:15. Jesus incarnates through Mary to decisively conquer and destroy Satan and to teach the redemptive goodness of God in the face of evil. In other words, God could have saved us just by staying in heaven. He could have just snapped his finger, blinked his eye, you know, just or just thought, I want to save the whole human race. No. But God wanted to give us an example of when he became God incarnate, he wanted to show us how to resist temptation. So he came down here and he faced off against the devil and he showed us by example how you resist temptation. Jesus went into prayer and he went into claiming the word of God and using imprecatory prayers. Be gone, evil. Be gone, Satan. That's an imprecatory prayer. He taught us when we're tempted, what do? Let's do imprecatory prayers. Be gone, evil spirit, in Jesus' name. But you have to say in Jesus' name. Jesus didn't have to say it in Matthew 4, verse 11, because he is God. So he just said, be gone, Satan. That's an imprecatory prayer. If Eddie or myself is tempted, we would have to say, be gone, evil spirit of whatever, anger, in Jesus' name. So Jesus taught us how to resist temptation and grow in holiness through a life of faith and prayer. That's why he became God incarnate.
Yes, and then, you know, there's a part of this where we could probably do an entire show on that, is that he came to earth to get Mary's fiat, to have a human being, a part of the human race, be a part of salvation.
The whole plan, yeah.
That's part of it.
That's the whole show.
Yeah. So let's get to the next one, Jess. Rebukes Satan.
God rebukes Satan
in the temptation. So Satan attacks Jesus after a 40-day fast, twisting scripture with appeals to hunger, pride, and power. And Christ rebukes and dismisses Satan. Jess, we could say that the victory includes all of that. Jesus' victory already comes into this picture knowing, with an understanding, that everything that Satan tries to do to twist it and turn it upside down, to invert it, is not effective at all when it comes to God's word.
And we also know that God incarnate, Jesus, God incarnate, he dominates demons in every encounter. And we'll have to do a show just on that. All the many passages where Jesus Christ specifically is confronted by a possessed person or an evil spirit, and Jesus Christ cast out the demons over and over again in a variety of circumstances. And in fact, on a number of occasions, the demons recognize Jesus and fear Jesus and actually fall at his feet. Eddie?
Yeah. Okay. So we're up to the last segment. Grab a cup of coffee, get something to drink here at this cold December morning, and we'll be right back for the final segment of Jesus 911. Stay with us.
On apologetics, you have entered into Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo, where we go wall to wall with defending, explaining, sharing the faith. Master Apologist Carlo Broussard. Carlo, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Hey, Gary, it's great to be back in the dojo, my friend.
Master Apologist Ken Hensley, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Good to see you again, Gary. Good to be with you.
Michael Barber, welcome. You have entered into the Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo.
Gary, thanks for having me on.
We are chatting with Master Apologist Carl Keating.
Gary, it's great to be back with you.
Coming into the dojo is our good friend Steve Ray.
Thank you, Gary. Good to be here.
Tim Staples, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Gary. Thanks for having me on.
Join many others in Gary Machuda's Apologetics Dojo.
We have some of the best Catholic apologists in the nation.
Streaming live weekdays from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific. Hands-on Apologetics on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Jesus said in Luke 17, "When you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty.'" According to St. John of the Cross, God is pleased with the little deeds we do in secret. He takes more pleasure in these than in a multitude of grand works that we may do out of the desire to be seen by others. May God help us to do the things that please Him, and not just to appear great in the eyes of others.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, John 3:16, two-man car. Talking about all things Jesus here. Talking about the power of God, is our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lady, the saints, over the diabolical. And we're giving you just a quick catechesis on the specific power of the Son of God over the diabolical. Eddie?
Yeah, Jess, let's talk about the next thing here. And we have to remember, the last thing we talked about was God rebukes Satan in the temptation. And people have to remember, Jess, that temptation is just that, a temptation. As long as we don't give into it and give our full will over to committing some thought, that we're okay. It's not sinful. We have to resist the devil at all costs here.
Yeah, a temptation is not a sin. It's right. The consent to the temptation that becomes a sin.
Right.
The next, so we talked about the way God dominates demons in every encounter. What's next, Eddie?
Yeah, so it says, Scripture dominates, documents many of the times that Christ specifically casts out demons in a variety of circumstances. It talks about a huge number of Bible verses here.
We'll do that another show.
Yeah, on a number of occasions, the demons recognize and fear Christ. We talked about that. Condemns the acts of Satan. Jesus rebukes Satan's attempts to corrupt Peter. He accuses the Pharisees for acting on Satan's behalf. Christ warns Peter that Satan has demanded Peter for himself. Wow. He calls Satan a murderer and the father of lies. Christ prays to the Father to protect the apostles from the evil one. And just, we have to remember that God gave, Jesus gave the power to the apostles to be the primary individuals in the church to battle Satan. Now, they delegate that in current day, modern day, to you know, different priests and stuff. But we understand that the bishops, the apostles, who are the forefathers of every bishop, they're the ones that have the ability to fight the demons.
Yeah, they have the full authority from Christ. Lay people have a limited authority over their family. Especially husbands and fathers, they have authority, but it's over their household. And we also know that the Bible warns us, it warns men in Scripture about Satan in the Lord's Prayer. So when Jesus Christ taught us the Our Father, the Protestants call it the Lord's Prayer, we call it the Our Father, it's the same prayer. Our Lord specifically acknowledges Satan in that prayer and man's need for protection, because at the end it says, but deliver us from the evil one. That's the way it's translated in the Catechism, paragraph 2850 into 2854. And Cardinal Ratzinger, who became Pope Benedict, he says that's the preferred translation of the Our Father. It's supposed to be the evil one. And so I've read from other exorcists that the Our Father is actually a minor exorcism prayer. When I share that with men, they go, man, Jess, this takes on a whole new significance now when I say the Our Father, that I actually realize that I'm praying it as a man, and this prayer is meant to protect me and drive demons away from me. So it takes on a whole new whole new devotion for a Catholic man when you realize that this is an exorcism prayer.
It's beautiful, Jesse. You know, we're given the tools right off the bat, Jesse, with the Our Father prayer. Jesus teaches us himself how to pray this prayer, and we as human beings make the battle with the devil so difficult because of our preferences.
Because we don't use the tools, Eddie.
Exactly, exactly. And that's what
we don't use the tools.
That's right. That's what we're doing here. We're giving people tools to put in their war bag so they can use them against the demons.
Every day.
Yes. Okay. So we strengthen the apostles. God strengthens the apostles to recognize and confront Satan and his demons. This is what we were talking about before. Numerous examples exist of Christ's warnings and the apostles' confirmation of Satan in their teachings gives the apostles the power to cast out demons. Jess, that's one of the things. Warns that the devil prowls like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, that men must resist Satan. That's against Peter. For Paul, he says, confirms that he is being used to turn people from Satan to God. Rebukes.
That's powerful.
Yeah, yeah. Talk about that, Jess. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's in Acts 26, verses 16 to 18. St. Paul's on trial, as I recall. In fact, let me grab my Bible here. He's on trial, and he's giving his witness. That's what he's doing there. He's giving his witness. What we generally call today, we call it a testimony. And those words that he says towards the end of his trial, I mean, he's going through a mock trial, of course. Okay? What's his crime? His crime isn't being a gangster or anything. His crime is being somebody who proclaims the resurrection of Jesus Christ and being a follower of Christ. But here's what he says, the exact verse, where he's in front of King Agrippa. This is Paul's defense before King Agrippa. He says, verse 16, he says, and I, so he's talking about, he's giving his witness of how he became a follower of Christ. He says, and this is after he fell off the horse. He says, and I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, but rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you to serve and bear witness of the things in which you have seen me, and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles to whom I send you, to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So St. Paul, the Bible says here that he's being sent to the Gentiles to turn them away from darkness. Why? Because of the paganism, like Pachamama, that's paganism. Like the Aztec deities, that's paganism. Like African deities, that's paganism. So Paul is saying again there that pagans worship demons. And he was sent by God to take them away from paganism, which is Satanism, to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one true God.
Amen. Just that's it. That's the message there. With St. James, he instructs men to be subject to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know,
that's a powerful passage, Eddie.
Yeah, and all we have to do is remember, just that we have to resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. That's in a lot of the prayers in the Libra Christo book here, and that's what people do not use. This is another piece of the equipment, Jess, that people do not use. Resist the devil using prayer, and he'll flee from you. That's incredible,
Eddie. And I'll tell you what's important here, because a lot of people have bought into Flip Wilson theology. Remember the black comedian?
Yes,
he used to always say the devil made me do it.
Yes.
That's wrong. That goes against James chapter 4 verse 7, where the verse you just read right now, it says, "Be subject to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So when Flip Wilson says jokingly, the devil made me do it, that's not true. Or even when some accused person goes to a court of law, you know, like maybe like Richard Ramirez, and he says, well, I did what I did because the devil made me do it. No, that's wrong. The devil tempted him and he consented, but it was his own free will that made him kill people and do whatever macabre crimes he did. The devil can't make you do anything. He can only tempt you, but if your will is weak, and how is the will weak? You're not in a state of grace. So when you're tempted, if your intellect is not formed by the Catholic faith, then your will is weak. In other words, your ability to resist temptation is weak if you're not a practicing Catholic. But if you are a practicing Catholic, James 4 verse 7 kicks in. You can resist the devil and he's gone.
Just the idea is to keep your free will strong, a powerful will, because that's what people don't have today, Jess. You know what happens is they get, you know, it's like having a shield. You put up a shield, like when we used to go in search warrants, the first guy has a shield, And what happens is when you get fired upon, the shield begins to weaken. You get dents in your shield. And if you have too many dents, Jess, what happens is a hole begins to form. And once a hole begins to form, Jess, that's the issue that many men have today, is that their shield is no longer blocking the fiery darts. And when now you have this weakened will, and so any temptation by the devil leads us to a place where we don't want to be. That's the issue.
And the only way you can strengthen your will is by a life of faith and the sacraments and prayer. It gets you spiritually buffed, okay? Spiritually muscular. A lot of men on the outside, they're looking pretty hard, but on the interior, they're weak. And so when temptation comes their way, they haven't worked on their interior life. They haven't strengthened their interior life. So when temptation comes, they don't have the ability to resist. They just consent with it. They just go with it. As they say, you know, in the millennials say, just go with it.
They go. And just the most powerful people like this are the people in the hospital. That's when you can have your spiritual strength so invigorated. If you're in the hospital, you're suffering, you unite that suffering to Jesus, and that's where the power comes from. People don't understand that it's inverted. What we think is powerful on the outside, like you said, men looking hard right now, you invert that. The men are weak, but those of us that are sick and infirm that can offer these prayers with Jesus, that's the power that we have as Catholics to use this suffering, this redemptive suffering that nobody pays attention to, Jess.
And the devil sees strength in that.
Absolutely.
Because the devil wants to make us suffer, and then all of a sudden when a Catholic is suffering and he offers it to God, the devil's saying, oh no, I'm afflicting him with suffering, but he's turning around and using that suffering as prayer.
Yes.
So that's how you beat him at his game. Finally, St. John the Apostle confirms that in 1 John 3:8 that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and that men can resist the devil in Christ, 1 John 2:13, and that the whole world is currently influenced by the evil one, 1 John 5:19. And we also know that God decisively conquers Satan at the end. Eddie, we're going to cobble all these verses together, and we'll go through every single one. It'll probably take about a week or 2 weeks, but it would be good to deploy every single one of these verses so we can explain them and just build people's hope in Jesus 911, because this is exactly what the program is about, spiritual warfare.
Yeah, Justin, people don't understand the little bits of gold that are in Scripture, different places, and that's what we need to teach them about, is these little bits of gold nuggets is what convinces people to begin to change their lives, begin to see the godly way to take things. Who would think, Jess, that somebody in an intensive care ward is powerful, more powerful than a big buff guy that's coming to them, to help them when they have the power in their sickness and their infirmity? This is what we have to teach them.
That's right. Well, it's a wrap. I just could tell you the words of St. Father Pio, since we talked about him today. He says, pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful, and he will hear your prayer. And also, you know, we got elections coming up. As a Catholic, I would say, pray America great again. Pray America great again. Eddie?
Amen, Jess. Thanks for that. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned for Gary Machuda and Hands on Apologetics. And you know what? Remember our battle cry. Our battle cry is that of St. Michael the Archangel, Quis ut Deus, who is like unto God. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.